is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right. Welcome into hour two of the Lombardi Line alongside former NFL executive Michael Lombardi out there on the East Coast. I'm Stormy Bonantoni, live from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Welcome in our DraftKings Network audience. Anybody who missed hour one, make sure you download the Lombardi Line in podcast form as well. But we got a great hour ahead. We're going to dive into all things Thursday night football, the Commanders and Bears with an intriguing game coming up. Commanders, a 6-point favorite, total 44.5. And we will get the Washington perspective with J.P. Finley of NBC Sports Washington in just a little bit. We'll also kind of get the lay of the land of the NFL this week and if some of the marquee performances we saw a week ago are something that can carry over or if it was a little bit of a fluke. So awesome stuff, Michael, but let's start with this Thursday night football matchup and just some of your immediate off the top thoughts with how these two compare.
Well, I mean, look, this is a game everybody's going to complain, oh, why are we watching this game? Well, I think it'll be a good game. I think there's a lot of interesting stories within it. First of all, let's start with Sam Howell, who I think has played really well for them. Now, he has been hit way too much, Stormy, and this is the weakness of the Washington football team. Howell has been sacked 24 times already this year. That's third most in through four games in the NFL. David Carr owns that right in 07 and 05 and 02. He was sacked 26 and 27 times respectively. So they've got, if they protect him against a Bears secondary tonight that is really depleted, they had to sign Daron Harmon from the Baltimore practice squad to bring to their team. That's how depleted they are. So this is an opportunity to see how he'll function, and he should be able to throw the football effectively. On the other side, we get to see Justin Fields, who everybody wants to tell you he's going to be the MVP. I know everybody's going to tell you that he's going to become, that it's not his fault. Let me give you a stat. 5-24 straight up. He's 8-20 against the spread in his career. In a minimum of 20 starts, he has the lowest against the spread win percentage of all NFL quarterbacks in the last 20 years. And when the opponents score more than 20 points against Justin Fields' team, they're 20-0 against him. All his five wins as an NFL quarterback have come when the opponent has scored less than 20. So we're going to be able to see if he can do something, because this Washington defense, for all the conversation about their front four, they have given up over 30 points the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, they're averaging allowing 30 points per game this season, which I don't think anybody expected when you hear names like Montez Sweat and Chase Young and Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen. The list goes on, especially given the coaching staffs that they have as well, and this being a defense first type of a mindset for a team, and it has not been the case. But for Justin Fields, just to further your point, Michael, because when we had Patrick Finley on in hour one, the Bears beat reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times, he was talking about the way that Fields has had issues specifically late in games and fourth quarters. How about the last 3 minutes of regulation for his career? So as a starter, during this streak of, you know, 0 and forever games, he's 16 of 34, 143 yards, one touchdown, six picks, and a 29 passer rating the last 3 minutes. So think about times when games have been on the line or when you're trying to rally or in a position to set your team up for success. That is when he has fallen. And even last week, we talk about him finally showing flashes and getting back to maybe the caliber of quarterback people thought or wanted him to be this year. Completes his first 16 passes on the day, has four touchdowns, 132 passer rating. And in the fourth quarter, 5 of 11, 50 yards, game-sealing interception for the other side, and a 21 rating. So it's hard to trust Justin Fields even when they're winning.
Yeah, no question. And I've been saying it, and you can't deny the evidence. One of the things I've learned working here at VSiN and on the DraftKings Network is some of these numbers that equate to winning and equate to point spread really kind of transcend. I mean, it's the same thing. We'll have the same conversation about Mac Jones. Anytime he plays against a team where his team isn't as good, he falls short. Now, look, one thing we will know about this Chicago Bear team, their defense is atrocious. They're led by Matt Eberflus, their head coach, who has won three games in 14. And basically, they are, you know, he is 3-18 over 21 games so far. Okay. And the last 14 games of this losing streak, they have given up 33.4 points per game, per game. And so they can't stop anybody on defense. And it's not all on Eberflus either, because this team had a ton of cap room this year. And they went out and signed guys that didn't make a lot of sense. You know, now whether it's the GM or the coach wanting to sign them, I don't know. But to me, Chicago is just going further and further down. The misevaluation at quarterback, you know, they make a great trade. They move away from a premier defensive tackle and then don't pick them anyway, and because they don't think they need it. I don't know. But this will be an interesting game tonight. I'm looking forward to Al's not. I hope you are as well, because it'll be consistent. It'll be the best thing of the evening. As soon as at 8:15 we go to the shot with him and Herbie, it'll be the most perfect knot you've ever seen, and we can move on.
The only consistent thing about the Thursday night football matchup is that our guy, Al Michaels, is going to have a good tie. That's all it is.
You can't beat it.
from an injury standpoint, I do want to make sure that we let the people at home know what the deal is for the Bears. They are going to be shorthanded in that secondary. As we know, no Eddie Jackson, Jalen Johnson, even Jaquan Brisker is questionable with a hamstring. I haven't seen any update if that gets upgraded, but so far, no. And no Chase Claypool again either, Michael, which this is a whole nother issue in itself. But
I mean, that one's on the GM. I mean, he trades a second round pick. Look, here's what I've learned in my experience in the NFL. You know, it's funny. I was listening to Michael Lewis on 60 Minutes talking about the that guy from FTX or whatever it's called, Sam Friedman, whatever his name is. And he told Michael Lewis that anybody over 46 years old is worthless. That's what he said. Well, the one thing I've learned being over 46 years old and experienced is when the Steelers are getting rid of a player, you better measure twice. You better measure three times. You better measure four times before you take that player on, because they are undefeated. They're like Al Michaels not. They're undefeated in terms of getting rid of a bad player. They don't ever do that. Like, they don't ever do that. They may maybe miss by a year, but they don't get rid of a young player that they think has got potential, and they traded away that guy.
Not good. And obviously inactive last week, not going to play this week. And I wonder if not only Elliot and I were talking about this, if not only he's played his last game as a Chicago Bear, but has he played his last game in general? It just doesn't seem very optimistic at this point.
Well, they got to trade him. I mean, they got it. The problem is he can't get anything back for him. I mean, everybody knows he's got to get rid of him. And nobody's going to offer him a firm pick. I mean, I think somebody might offer him I think he's going to be a free agent. They haven't extended him. So he enters into his free agent year. You're not going to be able, what contract is he going to get in the open market? Right? So if you trade something that's, say you trade a fifth, are you going to get that back for him? I doubt it.
Well, and it's super unfortunate because like DJ Moore is probably their best player, been their best option, but I wouldn't say that that's been the quality of wide receiver play that they thought that they were going to get when they went ahead and got him from Carolina either. So just a lot of things I think working against the Bears, not only today, but this season. We'll digest this game more later on at the very end of the hour, get into a little bit of a prop betting perspective. I do have a bet on the over 44.5. I just feel like it's going to be hard for either defense really to get a stop based on at least what I've seen through a 4-game sample size. So I like the over in that spot. Rapid fire here, Michael, because in hour one, we did some teams that were on the up and up, saw some stock up, odds movement. How about some teams that are trending down and have seen their odds reflected as such in too much, not enough, or just right? Let's look at the odds for the Cincinnati Bengals, who are 1-3 straight up right now, just narrowly beating the Rams for their lone win, have yet to cover a game. But from +110 in the division to 7-1, their AFC odds have skyrocketed to 15-1, Super Bowl odds from +850 to 30-1, and their wins total down 3 from 11.5 in the preseason to 8-1. Too much movement, not enough, or just right?
I think it's just right. I mean, look, when we go through it, you know, you can't deny if you did a blind taste test, a blind view test of what Joe Burrow has done, it's bad. I mean, 4.4 yards per attempt. He's throwing at about a 58% completion on 1st and 10. He can't run the ball. He's got 3 carries for 8 yards. Last year, he had 27 first downs with his feet. You know, they can't run the ball because they're in one formation all the time. And so what's happened to them is, that, you know, they get behind in a game. They've been outscored 53-19. They've only scored 19 points in the first half, Stormy. Mm. They're down 53-19 in the first half. You know, this is an interesting game because the line opened at 6 and it got immediately bet down to 4. Now I think it's under 3 at some shops. You know, the money's just pouring in and you can't argue with the money pouring. It was 6.5. It opened, the look ahead was 6 and the money just pours in and now it's pretty much 3 across the board.
Yeah, Joe Burrow has not looked right playing through that strained calf. It's clear. And it's not like he's had a lot of help.
The numbers move so much. Let me ask you something. Numbers move so much. Would you be inclined to now take Cincinnati?
This is a stay away game at this number, Michael. I grabbed the +5 with Arizona because I was on board with that. I was like, based on what I've seen from Cincinnati, I have no interest in backing them at this number. I think it's kind of a stay away. This thing actually, Michael, so while it reopened at 6.5, the look ahead was actually like 8.5. So that's the way that this had been projected beforehand. So just a huge turn. I think it's turned maybe too much, but not enough for me to say I want to lay points with Cincinnati. The Cardinals have looked scrappy, yeah. Michael. They've been a team that is probably the best losing team in the NFL right now.
The best quarterback on the field so far, when they take the field on Sunday, Josh Dobbs has played much better than Burrow. You can't argue that statistically and by arm. Now, Burrow threw the ball yesterday. I watched him. It looked like he was driving the ball more. But I think it's a stay away. I don't think you can bet the Bengals, even at this lower number, if he's going to play like he did. Plus, their defense has not played to the level. Of course, they're playing 32 minutes of defense, something they can't do.
No, I agree with you 100%. This is a stay away game for me. There are a number of teams, though, this past weekend that had either very, very good performances or very, very questionable performances. We're going to break down if we get a different game or more of the same here come Sunday. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Basketball season's ready to tip off, and the VSiN experts have been hard at work tracking the latest player moves to help you bet smarter. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get our all-new NBA betting guide, which dropped today, ladies and gentlemen. We've got up-to-date previews on all teams, futures and year-long player props, best bets on player awards, including Rookie of the Year and the like, live betting strategies, plus advice on building your own NBA betting model from our guy, Jonathan Von Tobel, the Jonathan Von Model, as he likes to call it. Give yourself an edge this season and get the VSiN NBA betting guide by becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber today at VSiN.com/subscribe. The best way to do it. Michael, did JVT let you get a blurb in? Because you have been adamant about that Sixers win total under. Like, come on, did you get a write up?
He didn't even ask me. I mean, that's like 48. Are you kidding me? They're not getting to 48. I don't mean any disrespect to Nick Nurse, but. I actually was surprised Harden was in shape, too. He didn't look like he was in bad shape. I saw it. But there's a lot of things that have to go right for them to get to 48 wins. A lot.
I just know how.
And without Doc there, Doc was a win the regular season. He was committed to getting those regular season wins. He would even shorten the bench during the regular season, but no chance. That's the best pick.
We'll have to see if we can get you an added expert excerpt, you know, post-publishing. Let's just make sure we get a little Michael Lombardi excerpt there for the 76ers win total under. Let's go back to the NFL, though. This is our all-NFL, all-the-time show. Although this is a great time of year for sports, October, you got basketball around the corner, the NHL, playoffs, and baseball. It's great.
You got NHL, you got college football, pro football, Major League Baseball, the NBA. I mean, this is like, it's everything's coming together perfectly.
Every day we have something going on in October. It's awesome. But let's look at some of the teams in the NFL, Michael, that this past week had standout performances, good or bad, and see if it's something that we think carries over to this week in different game or more of the same. And I want to start with the good because boy, did the Buffalo Bills look good. And they have for a few weeks now. You look at Josh Allen specifically, who after the 4 turnover performance week 1 has 10 total touchdowns rushing and passing, just 1 interception in that span, 5 total touchdowns alone coming in this most recent game. That offense for the Bills, Michael, against the Dolphins. 48 points scored offensively, 6 touchdowns, 2 field goals, 414 total yards, no turnovers. They were 5 of 6 in the red zone. This week in London, got to travel overseas, taking on the Jags. Do we get a different game or more of the same? Buffalo, 5.5-point favorite in this one.
Well, Josh Allen in his 59 games, he's 45, he's won by more than 7 points or more. And so with the line being 5, it's an attractive number to take. It's not a road number. I mean, he's technically the home team. But when you study the breakdown of Jacksonville, their inability to get pressure on the quarterback, right? They can't get any pressure on him. And the ability to attack in the secondary, I think, is going to be problematic. Now, Jacksonville has receivers that are hurt. So I think we're going to see more of the same in terms of the Bills' offense. And defensively, you know, the Bills will let you run the ball on them. The problem is they get ahead of you and you can't run the ball. Now, Peterson really doesn't want to run the ball, but I think the secondary, even without Tre'Davious White, can create some problems against the receiving core. I know they still have Calvin Ridley. Zay Jones is out. So I think it favors Buffalo. I expect to get more of the same. Now, I know there's a lot of sharp money coming in on Jacksonville, but I don't know. The way Buffalo's playing, I don't see a letdown. Also, the last time that they won, Jacksonville, remember, mm-hmm. Jacksonville beat McDermott when our man Urban Meyer was the head coach of the Jaguars. That was his last win. I don't think they're going to forget that game.
Feels like a lifetime away. And I agree with you on all counts there, Michael. So we go from the good. We're going to skip the bad and go right to the ugly here with the New York Giants. 3 points scored this past week. Daniel Jones on the season, by the way, just 2 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, which is more picks than he had all of last year. In that game against the Seahawks, 248 total yards, 3 turnovers, 11 sacks taken, whether it be Daniel Jones or Paris Campbell. They were 0-for in the red zone. Now they have to go to Miami and take on a Miami Dolphins team that's probably pretty upset about what the Bills did to them this past week. And for New York, is it a different game or more of the same, the way that they've been embarrassed so far this season?
Well, I do think the way that the Miami's play defense, that the Giants should be better. And maybe Andrew Thomas comes back. But the real core issue here is Buffalo got pressure on Tua. And the Giants have the league-low 18 total pressures against the opposing quarterbacks all year. They played against Dallas, no pressure. They played against Arizona, really didn't get pressure. They played against San Francisco, no pressure. They didn't get pressure against Seattle. So they can't get pressure. If you're going to beat Tua, you got to get pressure. You got to get in front of them. You got to get in front of them. This team averages 11.5 points a game. Okay, so say they get a touchdown above their average. Now they're at 18. Do you think that they can hold this team to under 30? I don't. The line's at 11.5 in the contest. I thought the line was going to be 12 in the circuit contest. It's still 11 now. They're anticipating a half a point move. I don't know. I don't know. And everybody's betting Miami on this one. I don't know how you could blame them. Now I see there's a bunch of 11.5s. Now there's some 12s out there. There's an offshore book that has 12. So, I mean, I keep thinking this line's going to keep going.
And we're
11.5 everywhere. I thought the line in the contest would have been 12.
Yeah. And that's we're just at Thursday. So we'll see. But I agree with you that this Dolphins offense is going to do whatever they want. They are going to score points. There's no question about it. I wonder how much the Giants will be able to do offensively, because like you said, the Dolphins defense certainly has its vulnerabilities. It has not been great, but keeping it within 2 touchdowns seems like a pipe dream if you're the Giants based on what we've seen at this point. Let's talk about a defense that looked really, really bad last week. The Pittsburgh Steelers got embarrassed by the Houston Texans, and that's not the norm for a Mike Tomlin team, Michael. Allowed 451 yards, no turnovers forced, no sacks for this group, gave the Texans 21 first downs and 30 points. Now they have to go ahead and face the Ravens. They do get to be at home, but is it a different game or more of the same for the Steelers defense as they try to rebound?
No, I don't think it. I think it'll be a different game. Look, I think they're going to misfire move their in offense for their help their run game. But T.J. Watt still is rushing well. I mean, he leads the league with 6 sacks. He's got a lot of quarterback pressures. You know, the problem for your Pittsburgh is Baltimore's finally getting healthy. Beckham practiced yesterday. Bateman practiced yesterday. Marlon Humphrey practiced. Ronnie Stanley was even out there. So that's it. Look, we know this, Stormy. Forget everything that's happened week before or week after. These two teams, when they get together, it's a 3-point game. Mm-hmm. And the underdog's 21-3-3 since 2005. We love Tomlin as an underdog. You're getting an extra point as Tomlin as an underdog because they played so bad last week. I don't know how they do it because I don't trust Kenny Pickett to do it. Just like I didn't know how they could beat Cleveland, but you had to be on the Steelers side against the Cleveland game, and there's no way Cleveland's not a better team than Pittsburgh, but they lost that game because Cleveland turned it over. Lamar is really good. Lamar's really good. Leads the league in missed tackles. He's been really good. But Pittsburgh, this is always a 3-point game. You're getting 4? I don't know.
And because you did mention Kenny Pickett with that knee injury, he said that he'll be ready to go Sunday. I wonder how compromised he might be. Been practicing with that big brace on his leg. We'll get one more in here. How about the Tennessee Titans actually stood up this past week? But is that an anomaly or can that be the norm moving forward for this group? Allowed just 211 yards total, 1 forced fumble, 3 sacks, 3 total points allowed in that game against the Cincinnati Bengals. They're 1.5-point favorite at the Colts this week. Do we see more success from that D?
Well, I think this. Look, Tennessee played Philly last year, and Philly dominated them. Shane Steichen in the 6-back offense. If you're going to play Tennessee, you can't line up and run the ball on them. They're too good to run. You can't block them. You got to throw it. And I think that Steichen, having played Philly last year, you know, in Philly, having played Tennessee, can do that. You know, I think that's what's going to have to be. They're going to have to throw the football effectively, but they're going to have to stop the run. I mean, what's happened is they have dominated this series. The last 5 games, the Titans have owned it. You know, they have owned it. They've covered 5 in a row. And this line went from Indy the favorite to now Tennessee the favorite. I think it's moved too far the other way.
And we'll see if Jonathan Taylor ultimately does end up playing this week. It looks like trending toward that direction based on how optimistic he was in his press conference today. Was the first day that he's back in pads, first day since last December that he's out there on the field with his team. First time taking handoffs from Anthony Richardson, being on the field with Shane Steichen as his head coach. So a lot of new for Jonathan Taylor as he works his way back in the fold in Indy. We've got to take a quick break. When we return, get back to some Thursday night football talk from a local angle in Washington. JP Finley will join us next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers get a no-sweat same-game parlay any day. Download the app and use the promo code VEGAS when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the king is yours. We are hoping to get JP Finley on the line in a moment. Covers the Commanders closely for NBC for Washington. But while we wait, Michael, might as well continue to examine some of the big line moves from this week. We even talked about this Thursday night football matchup coming in with the Bears and Commanders, how it opened a 4-point spread and has been bet up the way that it has on Washington's side. Another big mover is the Lions and Panthers this week. The Lions, in a little bit of unfamiliar territory, is such a big favorite, gone up from 7.5 to 10-point favorites against the Panthers. You think that might be a little bit too much to be laying double digits, or is what we've seen from Carolina just been rough enough that that's warranted?
You know, in my number, when I worked my numbers this week, it came out at 10-4. And I thought, wow, I'm really off on this game. Because I think it opened at 7.5.
Yep.
You know, and then all of a sudden it just got bet up. And you could see why. I mean, look, this is a long, long way between the game last year in December where the Panthers ran for 350 and they basically took the Lions out of the playoff race. A lot has transpired over that course of time. So, you can see this, but a lot of it is because of the Panthers being so bad and the Lions improving. So I get that. Let's put some things in perspective here, right? This Lions team, the last time they were a touchdown favorite was in December 31st, 2017, when Brett Hundley was the quarterback. They were a 9-point favorite in that game. They won 35-11, okay? They haven't been favored by a touchdown or more since September of 2018 when they played the Jets as a 7-point favorite. That's a touchdown and extra point. They lost that game 48-17. So, you know, they haven't really handled this. Remember, they were a 6-point favorite against Seattle this year and lost the game.
Yep.
But this one, I think, has a different trend to it. Because of that game last year, because of Carolina running the ball on them and embarrassing them, because of Carolina knocking them out of the playoffs, I think Campbell, whose team's coming off of a long rest, played really well last week against Green Bay, are going to come back and at home where they lost, I think they do play well. And this Carolina defense isn't the same defense. And so I could see why this line's moving.
Yeah, and I don't foresee the Panthers being able to run the ball the way that they did last year, considering how good this Lions run defense has been. Oh. We didn't have to wait for very long to get JP on the line. So JP Finley, we welcome him in now, NBC4 Washington, out there getting set for this Thursday night football contest against the Bears. And, you know, you've got this winless Bears team coming to town. They're 0 for their last 14 as a franchise. It's been bad. But this Commanders team, JP, has, you know, not lived up to, I think, the expectations a lot of us thought, especially on the defensive side of the ball to this point. As these two are matching up tonight in D.C., what stands out to you most?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you talk about the defense. That's been a really hot topic here in D.C. on my radio show and kind of everywhere. They've given up, you know, more than 30 in the last three games. And on the surface, it looks bad. They're 29th in the NFL in points allowed. But the Eagles did what the Eagles do. They were able to move the ball pretty well. There was a pretty big hole in Jack Del Rio's game plan against Philly. They sold out to stop the run, and that pretty much worked. DeAndre Swift, they held him to about 50 yards after he had gone for 300 combined in the previous two games. They basically said, Hurts has to beat us from the pocket. Unfortunately, he did that. They had their first-round rookie, Emmanuel Forbes, match up against A.J. Brown, and A.J. Brown just torched him. I think had they made an adjustment there, maybe move Benjamin St. Juice or Kendall Fuller, one of their other corners, to Brown, I think they might have been able to win that game. But the two games prior against the Bills, which was a boat race, was mostly because they couldn't move the ball offensively. And even against the Broncos, if you look at those point totals, they look damning. The Buffalo game was 16-0 to start the fourth quarter. There was a pick six. Repeatedly, the Buffalo offense got gifted great field position because of Washington turnovers. And then go back to that Broncos game. It was 21-3 at the start of the second quarter. Denver moved the ball really well early. And then they barely scored again until late in the fourth quarter, and they hit a Hail Mary. So, like, Washington's had, and against Arizona, Washington's defense was great in the opener. But Washington's had these prolonged periods of good defense in a lot of these games, and then it just feels like something, some switch gets flipped and they blow it. I don't think the switch gets flipped against Chicago tonight. I think defensively they show up and play pretty well.
This, JP, this might be two of the worst offensive lines in football. The Bears are 29th in sacks allowed per play, and Washington is 31st. I mean, it's historic where Sam Howell has been sacked after 4 weeks. He's in David Carr territory. Actually, David Carr is the only player who's been sacked more for 2 years in four games. So it's kind of remarkable. What is going to be their answer to protect this kid who looks really good to me and looks like he could be a starter, but there's no way he's going to take all these hits that he's taken?
Yeah, I mean, he's been sacked 24 times through four games. That's six a game. He'll break David Carr's sack record for a single season by Thanksgiving at this pace. Excuse me, which is clearly problematic. You know, long-term, I'm not sure there's a great fix here. The line is what the line is. They're not great on the edges, but I do think tonight should look better because Chicago doesn't rush the passer much. They have two sacks through four games as a whole defense. So maybe Sam gets a bit of a reprieve this evening.
Yeah, we talk about him being the most sacked quarterback and, you know, more interceptions and touchdowns at this point. But I do think that he still put together some really compelling stretches of good football. And the way he led those two scoring drives in the fourth quarter against the Eagles last week, you know, there are areas where you're impressed. Are there things that you're seeing or noticing with Eric Bieniemy and him together that can have more sustained progress in that area with Sam Howell? Or like, how do you view him as the starting quarterback in this system?
I definitely do. Last week's game plan was really, really smart from Bieniemy and then really well executed by Howell. They had a lot of quick passes, a lot of moving pockets, which helps Sam, makes him feel more comfortable. And if you remember, the book on Howell coming out of college was that he can run. Well, he wasn't doing it much. In the first three games this year, they only ran five. He only ran five times. And then against the Eagles week four, he rushed the ball six times. Now, none of those were designed QB runs, but he was making decisions faster, whether it was identifying his receiver faster or just like, all right, I got a rush lane here. I'm going to take the 9 yards and keep moving. And they were way better. The second half of that game, where twice they had long touchdown drives to tie the game in the fourth quarter, they were way better on third down. I think that's the stuff you got to hope Howell's able to continue, because if he's more of a rush threat, then other teams aren't just teeing off on him as much. And it also helps them when they get increased first downs, when they're on the field more, they're running the ball better, which also helps Howell. You know, as bad as the sack rate has been in Washington, not all of those are on the O-line. I mean, Howell has really held onto the ball too long in spots, and that's the stuff that's got to improve, along with improved offensive line. And one thing I thought Bieniemy made an important switch to against Philly, he ran a lot of 12 personnel with two tight ends out there, just getting more help at the line of scrimmage. I think he kept the backs in a lot more to at least chip, if not stay in on pass pro entirely. So I think he tried to protect his young QB a little bit more. And in turn, Sam got the ball out a lot faster. It was just, last week they ran really efficient, functional offense, and you'd like to think that can continue.
JP, we've not seen this in a long time, but are we going to have a sellout tonight? I mean, what is it going to be like at FedEx Field? Is it going to be one of those where it was reminiscent back to the old glory days of RFK Stadium, where the stadium was just shaking and rocking because of the team? What do we expect to see tonight?
Yeah, you know, this will be the third home game, the third sellout. Obviously, the fan base is responding with Dan Snyder gone. The first game was really, really an awesome crowd. The second home game was that loss to the Bills with a lot of Bills fans in attendance. I think tonight will be pretty legitimately, you know, burgundy and gold. And fans are back into it. I think you've got this like great combination for fan interest of getting rid of the bad guy, getting new guys in town that so far have just done everything smart and kind of re-engaged the fan base. And you've got a young quarterback that was drafted here that you could kind of rally behind. And I think you add all that up and it's easy for fans to kind of get into it.
JP, awesome stuff. Enjoy the game today. Appreciate you doing this.
Thanks, JP. Appreciate you.
That is JP Finley. Follow him on X at JP Finley NBCS. Doing great work over there for NBC4. Always appreciate him giving us the lowdown on all things Commanders, which we're going to stick with that theme as we wrap up the show next. But looking at this Thursday night football game.
Yes. Yeah, I know.
From a
know.
Prop
you got,
betting you got, perspective.
You got a lot of props, yes.
I need your advice, Michael. Help a sister out. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NHL season is almost here, and our hockey betting experts are ready for all of the action. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get our all-new NHL betting guide out now. It's got previews for all 32 teams, futures bets, awards picks, season-long props, as well as first-period betting strategies, our guy Steve Mackinnon's power ratings, plus best bet articles 5 days a week once the season gets underway. This guide is a must-have with key insights and data, whether you're an avid hockey bettor or somebody who's just new to the sport. Give yourself an edge this season. Get the VSiN NHL betting guide now. You can do so by becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber at VSiN.com/subscribe. And every time I do that read, Michael, I'm going to remind the people that the Vegas Golden Knights, the defending Stanley Cup champions, are being disrespected with their preseason odds to repeat. They are returning almost everybody on that roster except for Riley Smith. They're going to be good this year. Mark my words. Neither here nor there, Michael. Let's get back to football because we got a fun one on Thursday night coming up tonight on Amazon Prime. The Washington Commanders taking on the Chicago Bears. We'll give our final thoughts here overall on the game, as well as some different prop betting opportunities and angles that you might want to approach this one from, which includes our pro tip of the day. We do these every single day here on the show. Every show at the network does them. But our pro tip for this game specifically, a massive trend that we have seen with the Chicago Bears, Michael, is that over this 14-game losing streak, they have allowed 25 or more points every step of the way. The team total for the Washington Commanders tonight, and we know that offense is capable, is sitting at 25.5. I love our guy Mike Somish, who came on the show in hour one, said that his favorite bet tonight was that team total over on Washington, and I couldn't agree with him more.
Yeah, I mean, JP was right. I mean, when you watch the Buffalo game, it's a 16-0 game, but then the dam broke, and next thing you know, Buffalo scores over 30. But they did give up those points to Denver on some deep throws and Russell Wilson. So I think the Bears can run the ball, and I think Fields is going to have to run more tonight if they're going to get something going, because they're going to have a hard time blocking the front. The Bears aren't very good up front. So I kind of get the sense it's got to be an over. If the Bears are going to win, you almost think it has to go over. I say that, Stormy, but of all his wins, the opponent has scored less than 20 points if you're Justin Fields and you're a Bears fan. That's just the reality. I can't change it.
Well, so do you think the Bears are going to win, though?
No, I don't.
See, I don't either.
I think Howell's a better quarterback than Fields. He can throw the ball. I think they've got better receivers in Washington. Washington's a better team. Now, can they cover the 6? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But they're the better team. My numbers say they should cover the 6. You know, and so all the movement towards Chicago. But I think, to me, if I were, and I don't recommend Thursday games because of the injuries and all that. But with this secondary for Chicago being as beat up as it is, if Washington doesn't move the ball as well as they did against Philly, I would be shocked.
Yep. So I feel fairly confident that the Washington Commanders are going to go over that team total 25.5. I did also bet the game over 44.5. I think that I understand what JP was saying, that the Washington Commanders defense has had really good stretches and they've just had mistakes and things kind of fall apart for them. But I still can only go by the evidence that I've seen to this point, and it's that they're allowing 30 points per game. And not that necessarily the Bears are going to take full advantage of that. I'm not saying that, but I feel like they're going to get at least some points. We saw some flashes from Justin Fields. And to your point, if he runs the football, maybe he can have a little bit of success against this defense. So I like the team total over for Washington. I like the game total to go over 44.5. My favorite prop of the night, Michael, and for people that are listening right now, this is continuing to get juiced and steamed up. So if you feel confident like I am that this is going to happen, you're going to want to bet it now before we get closer to game time. But Justin Fields to throw an interception tonight, Michael. I bet it at minus 120. He's thrown at least one every game so far, 5 total on the season. And Washington's got an interception on the defensive side of things 2 of the last 3 games. I just feel like it's an inevitability that Justin Fields at some point is going to make that mistake and give the ball to the other side.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to argue with you. I wouldn't stop you from doing it. I think, to me, that's true, right? I mean, you know, the other, he gets pressure. I mean, this is where Justin Fields turns the ball over. That's what he has done his whole career. So the fourth quarter numbers you cited, under 3 minutes, fourth quarter last week, that's what happens. Mm. And Washington will get pressure on them tonight.
And that was a backbreaking interception for them last night. You saw the way that they led up the way that they did. Okay. As far as the run game go, I know you say that the Bears need to be able to run the football. Can the Commanders run the football? Because there's a lot of things that I am tempted on when it comes to our guy Brian Robinson Jr. this week. And whether it's the rushing yards or whether it's the rushing and receiving yards combined, because I was looking through these most recent games for the Bears on defense, and as far as what running backs have been allowed to do in those combined rushing and receiving yards, all of them have gone over this number that you see in front of you on your screen. Last week, the Broncos, Jaleel McLaughlin has 72 yards rushing, 32 receiving. Before that, against the Chiefs, Isaiah Pacheco, 62 yards running, 16 receiving. Even Edwards-Helaire had 55 rushing yards that game too. Rashad White, when they faced the Bucks, 72 yards rushing, 30 receiving. And then Green Bay, Aaron Jones had 41 yards on the ground, 86 receiving. So that combined number is what I'm looking at for Brian Robinson Jr. over 75.5. I know it's going to be a hard number to get under circumstances where he's facing a different defense, but I feel like against Chicago, he could get there.
He should get there. I mean, look, Chicago's a team that partly they play an 8-man front. All right. Now they're 10th in the league in yards per attempt defensively. So that tells you, you know, that they're not giving up a lot of big runs. However, they play an 8-man front, and all their safeties are hurt. So somebody's coming in, and there's going to have to be communication. 8-man fronts, people say, well, they're in an 8-man front. That's meaningless. If everybody doesn't take the right gap, you can be in a 12-man front. You're not going to handle it. So I think, to me, they're going to have to help their offensive line, they've got to run the ball, even though they're going to be tempted, because this Bears team is 31st in the league yards per attempt throwing a ball. Mm-hmm. They're going to be tempted. But I do think they have to pace this game. And I think Robinson he ran well against Philadelphia last week.
Well, and I'm not particularly concerned, and maybe I should be, so I'd love your thoughts on this, about the Gibson side of it all. Because so far from what we've seen in that backfield, like, it's Brian Robinson's backfield, right?
Yeah, I think I don't think you're in trouble there. I think Gibson's kind of a jack of all trades. Because look, Robinson's got 61 carries so far this season in four games. So, and when you look at it, Gibson only has 13 carries in four games.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I am also of the thought process that the Bears are going to be trailing in this game, right? That goes by everything that we were talking about, the Commanders team total. I think their offense is going to be able to have success. So the Bears likely going to be chasing in some spots, which means going to have to pass the ball our guy, Justin Fields. With the number that we see for DJ Moore sitting 50.5, and this has gone up from 48.5. Do we think he can get over? Because I was looking at his total over for yards and maybe an anytime touchdown for DJ Moore as well, because if they're going to get points, I think it's going to be through him.
I would think that would be correct. And, you know, look, they put Emmanuel Forbes last week. They put him on A.J. Brown. Not a real good idea. Emmanuel Forbes, 160 pounds. Right. I mean, he's 165 pounds. A.J. Brown's 220. Even if he covers him, is he tackling him? Like, when I heard that, you know, I watched the game and he was on him, it just didn't make any sense to me. So, you know, Forbes is their best cover guy. Will he trail more? I think they're better off just playing their coverages and allowing themselves to not tip their hand and take their chances with Justin Fields throwing it. So I think Moore should get his yards, especially if they get behind in the game, which they will. I mean, let's face it, the Bears always play from behind.
Right. And so that's kind of my thought process. And same thing with the interception. I feel like he's going to be in situations where he's got to be passing the ball, opens up more of an opportunity for mistakes.
He'll throw one whether he's in the lead or not. Last week, he fumbled.
He fumbled in
the lead.
Last thing here, last 90 seconds, our girl, Stephanie Kamershack, produces the show a couple days a week. She does a first touchdown tracker at vsin.com for every team. The Bears have only scored first in one game so far this season. Justin Fields, his lone rushing touchdown of the year against Tampa, that was one. DJ Moore has the Bears' first touchdown the last two games, but it wasn't the first touchdown of the game. So I think if you were looking for a Bears player, DJ Moore would maybe be it. And then for the Commanders, they've had a variety of different first touchdown scorers: Brian Robinson, Logan Thomas, and Curtis Samuel. But if I'm already betting Brian Robinson for an anytime touchdown, do I just throw a sprinkle on the first touchdown too? I don't know. I've got a lot to sit on here over the next few hours, Michael.
I think they'll get Robinson. If they're down there, they'll try to run it in, and you can run it in on them.
Let's let it happen. Okay, I bet him minus 105. He's minus 120 for an anytime touchdown. First touchdown, plus 525. Good luck with your bets tonight. Thursday night football.
And we will see you Sunday, right? Yes. We will see you Sunday for our first Sunday show together. I'm looking forward to that.
Going
to
be back from Birmingham, Alabama, bright and early, bringing the energy on a Sunday, getting the people prepped at home for the full lineup of NFL games. Awesome stuff, Michael. That's a wrap for today. For anybody that's hanging out with us on DraftKings Network, Pablo Torre is coming up next. If you're on VSiN, it's the Sharp Money Crew.